So I want to tell you that that sermon preparation, you know, a lot of people think that we only work one day a week, right? A lot of people think that we only work one day a week. But I have done a lot of preparation for this sermon, okay? A lot of preparation. And I want you to know that I have done quite a bit of research over the last couple of weeks. And in order to do my preparation, I watched two movies. One of them was a movie called Evan Almighty. Have y'all seen that one? Evan Almighty, who features Steve Carell as Evan Baxter. And if you have not seen this movie, it features a news anchor who is elected to Congress and he's ready to change the world. He encounters difficulty from the onset, however, as he unintentionally risks his family and his career, and some of those around him would say his sanity, as God, played by Morgan Freeman, wants him to build an ark in the middle of suburban Washington, D.C. I don't think that will ever happen in real life. So on the outskirts of Washington, Evan was commanded by God to build an ark, much to the laughter of his neighbors as he prepared for a modern-day flood. Of course, in this modern day, no one believed him, and he was mocked worldwide and was cast out as a pariah. The second movie was Leap of Faith with Steve Martin. Have y'all ever heard of that movie? Well, that movie, the main character, is a man by the name of Brother Jonas Nightingale. He is a traveling evangelist who goes from city to city who proclaims to have the power of healing when he's really a con man who used acts of healing and smoke and mirrors to get people to trust him with money and fame. But things turn awry, however, when miracles actually start happening near the end of the movie, and God actually moves to heal people, which was beyond Jonas's control. Amen. But both of these films that I watched made me wonder about the power of miracles in an age of continual skepticism. Have we become too rational, too intellectual, too grown up to believe in miracles? In a world and society that's due to social media and transportation, in a world and society that's ever getting smaller, has our belief in miracles gotten smaller today? Is there still room for God to move miracles in today's world? Is there still room? Today's passage says yes. So, at the encourage of the incredible Cheryl Parmley, I'm going to give you 3 points. Number one, here's what miracles reveal. Miracles reveal grace. Miracles reveal grace. You know, the word grace appears in the Gospel of John only 4 times. Only 4 times, and it's only in the beginning of the gospel, what's known as the prologue. But as this prologue indicates, grace forms the foundation of the entire Johannine narrative. As we see grace in the beginning of this gospel, the writer teaches what grace looks like, what it tastes like, what it sounds like, what it feels like. To the writer of John, grace is a multi-sensory concept that begins at the incarnation of Jesus and extends throughout the rest of the narrative. Grace is not just a passive activity. When Jesus reveals grace to this wedding, it's more than just a let me teach you about grace. No, let me show you what grace looks like. Let me show you the abundance of grace. Jesus doesn't just theorize about grace. He practices grace. And we are invited to be a part of that wedding experience where grace takes center stage. Jesus shows us an example as he fills those 6 water jars of the best wine. Now, water jars, they're not those simple mason jars that people use to can things with, right? The scripture passage says that there's six of them that hold about 20 to 30 gallons of water. But Jesus turned it into wine. You know, this would be unheard of. At a wedding party, to have the best wine after 3 days. But Jesus made sure that this was a sign of abundant grace. And as one commentator put it, he says in the narrative, it's one thing to say Jesus is the source of grace. It's quite another to have an experience of it. It's one thing to say, talking about grace. It's another one to experience it. We experience God's abundant grace every day of our lives. Amen? And as we experience God's abundant grace through Jesus, we can share in that grace, not just by talking about it, but by living it and experiencing it and then sharing it with the world. So, miracles reveal grace. Number two, there is always miracles reveal God's timing. Miracles reveal God's timing. One of the commentators again mentioned that timing is everything here. Timing is everything, which is what makes this wedding at Cana such a scene. He goes on to say that the timing goes all wrong, and when the wine runs out, it's a disaster. It's a disaster. In that time, wine is a sign of the harvest, of God's abundance, of joy and gladness and hospitality. When they run short on wine, they run short on blessing. The wine has run out before the wedding did, and that is a catastrophe, end quote. But because timing is everything, Jesus shows up right on time to show the wedding attendants, in a quiet manner, mind you, and us, that God's time punctures through our measured time to reveal a glimpse of what God can do in this world. In my life, I've always believed in God's timing. I believe that God shows up at unexpected times in unexpected places. This is to remind me that I am not alone in this world, that I have someone watching over me, and that God is always at work cultivating something beautiful, something good. When I was a program minister at Joy MCC in 2012, I had the pleasure of working with a senior pastor who's a really good colleague of mine, and she says, we have this band coming from St. Petersburg, Florida. I said, okay. And she says, they're called Canaan Band. And I said, all right. Well, I looked at it, and I was like, oh, they're kind of attractive, all of them. I can sit there and listen to them, no problem, no big deal. So they came, and I met this woman by the name of Melanie, and she just turned me inside out. I had never felt such a presence of God in my life. And then I heard them sing, and it was enough. It was enough to feel God's presence, to feel the power of God in this world. Well, that was in July. And then in September, the denomination hosted a stewardship summit, and it was hosted right here at King of Peace. I didn't know about what was to happen. All I know is that I walked in late one of the days, and I had this woman who was about 6'10" in the lobby. Hi, sorry I'm late. Sorry I'm late. I'm just going to get myself. They've just started. Okay, I'll just go sit out. Let's go have a seat. Yes, ma'am. But little did I know that shortly then, 2 months later, I would be working here full time. And when it came time to working here, I had no place to live. So what happened was Canaan Band said, you can come stay with us. People, I don't believe in coincidences. I believe in God instances. And that is one example of God instances. God working through the power of others to make the world go round, to reach out to people at the time of need. God's timing may not be there when you want it, but God will be there right on time. Amen. Miracles reveal that God is not done in this world. God is still speaking to this world. One commentator writes, "The question becomes how we would look at all the ordinary, mundane elements of our lives. If we truly believed that God was with us, working with us to care for God's people. Because whatever time we think it may be, it is also God's time. And when God is around, all things are possible." Amen. So miracles reveal grace. Miracles reveal God's timing. And finally, miracles reveal the best is yet to come. In our passage, we see the head waiter and the bridegroom of that wedding feast absolutely astounded by the best wine, and that it was served last instead of first. Normally, wedding celebrations in Greco-Roman culture lasted a week. Parties put out the best wine, the top dollar shelf, the top shelf stuff, and then decrease the quality as the celebrations continue. You go from the top shelf to the boxed wine. When that statement is made, one of the commentators points that, quote, "This is a symbolic way of saying that Jesus is better than what had come before. He is the apex of God's glory." Reverend Dr. Alvin O'Neill writes an article called "A Vision for America" in 2013, and he writes that about the time of the second inauguration of President Barack Obama. And he writes that what we see is great promise. In a world where the reality of promises are unfulfilled, dashed hopes and shattered dreams take place, the best can be yet to come. And finally, which reminds me of a story. There was a lady who was in her final hours of life. She had scheduled an appointment with the pastor, and the pastor sat down and talked with her, and they were going through all the motions of what a final service would look like. And the pastor was writing furious notes, writing everything down to the letter, and saying at the end, "Well, is there anything else?" The lady said, "Yes. When I die, I want a fork in my hand. I want a fork in my hand." The pastor said, "Well, that was a weird request. I've done many funerals, but I've never had a person tell me that they want to die with a fork in my hand." She told him why. And sure enough, a few months later, she had passed on. And the people were coming down, and they were looking at the casket, and some were scratching their heads, and some were kind of giggling to say, "There is a fork in that woman's hand. There is a fork in that woman's hand." And the pastor, knowing why she needed a fork in her hand, was kind of snickering to himself as he was standing there. He was hearing these comments, "There is a fork in her hand." The service got started, and the eulogy came up, and he started talking, and he started preaching, and all of a sudden he said, "The reason why she wanted a fork in her hand, because every time she went to restaurants, the waiter or server would say, 'Save your fork. The best is yet to come.'" The best is yet to come. This morning, save your forks. For truly believing in miracles means that you know that the best is yet to come. So this morning I encourage you. Oh, I just got chills on that one. This morning I encourage you, keep your fork. Know that through God's grace, God's timing, and God's revelation that the best is truly yet to come. And I encourage you to always find miracles in this world and in your personal life. So folks, I'm going to ask again, are you ready for a miracle? Amen. Are you ready for a miracle? Yes. Are you ready for a miracle? Yes. Then let's make it happen. Amen? Amen and amen. Let us pray. Precious God, we give you thanks for today, and may we always remember to save our fork. For as we continue to learn through the miracles of Jesus, that this is not just a passive activity, but one that is centered on grace and your timing. May you truly open us up to see the miracles in our lives, that you are not done, that you have just begun. Keep us safe, and may we leave this place better than when we came in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.